This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit, genatsit, parluis inchpesek, my friends. And I tell you what, I'm watching the game right now, Brian, and it's unbelievable. It's 0-0. We keep getting all these yellow cards. It's making everything too exciting for me, but we're playing Romania, and I'm really pumped up. And our guest, well, I tell you what, I know this guy from a while back, and he's from L.A. He's got some programs going out there. Armenian soccer's pretty popular out there, and when you mention this guy's name, everyone knows this guy. He's very familiar with soccer, and I just said, you know what, it's time to give Greg a call, Greg Asatorian, and just see what he's up to out there, and maybe give us a little scoop on possibly L.A. soccer, possibly abroad, having our soccer players in Europe and America and Armenia. And plus, we got a big game right now that's going on with Romania. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jono. It's a pleasure to be on. And speaking of the L.A. soccer scene and Armenian soccer, I'll never forget how the Armenia Proud podcast represented, showed up, supported the event we had against the New York Cosmos. So it's a pleasure to be on the air with you. And there's a lot of things going on, as you mentioned, so it'll be great to go over it. And I'm excited to be on with you guys.
Before that, though, Greg, you remember St. Louis, Brian, St. Louis was throwing a soccer team, a professional team. Greg reached out to me and said, hey, you know what? I have some Armenian players out in L.A. that I think can make the team out in St. Louis. And I talked to the ownership of the St. Louis team, and sure enough, our Armenian players showed up with Greg. And, man, you guys put on such a show. And it was a heartbreak just to see one or two not make it, because they were so damn good too. And two Armenian players made the St. Louis roster, and that was pretty damn good, because there were about 400 players that tried out, and our representation of L.A. coming to St. Louis, you guys represented well.
And that was all credit to you, Jono, saying it was an incredible time, and it was just an opportunity of a lifetime for those players. One of them, Jakub Chirishan, actually went on to continue his professional career, play for the New York Cosmos. And our guys came in, like Jono mentioned, thanks to his wonderful connections in the great city of St. Louis. They were players worldwide. And the team was coached by a very famous coach, Claude Anelka. And our guys look around, you see players from Brazil, France, all over Europe. And they played hard. Like Jono said, they put on a show. Two of them walked out with professional contracts. And that was one of my proudest moments, being around soccer. And till this day, all the players remember it. And it opened the door for a lot more younger players to go professional. So credit to Jono, credit to the Armenian community.
Credit to you,
buddy. And
credit to you, too, because you put thankless hours of time out there, and you're scoping out the players. You're already visualizing what player can do what at what level. And I tell you what, Greg, like I said, folks, this guy doesn't get paid for that. This guy goes there for the love of the game and love of Armenians. And Greg, you know, it's people like you that I'm so happy to have on this show, man. That's why I call it Armenia Proud. All right.
Well, thank you, John. And I'll never forget your hospitality. You literally opened up your house to the players and us and went out of your way. And that's why it's always a pleasure and truly a blessing to be on this show. And you know all the kind of respect that I have for you.
Yeah, definitely, Greg. Thank you. What's been going on, Greg? What's the scene around, like I brought up earlier? What's our local scene? What's abroad? And we've got a game today. I think it just went into halftime, and it's 0-0.
It's a big game. There's a lot going on locally and overseas. We're actually combining, taking some young, talented players. There's a couple of under 18 academy players in the area that we have plans to send to Eastern Europe and the Armenian Premier League so they could establish their professional careers. Mm-hmm. But today the whole focus is on the big game going on in Bucharest, Romania right now. World Cup qualifying for 2018. The Armenian national team currently is tied at halftime against Romania, and it's a pivotal game to, you know, the sports analogy. It's a must-win game. So at this point, we have to get the 3 points, and it's a critical phase during qualifying. So the boys have played hard. It's been an active half, and I'm anxious to see how the second half will look. But this is definitely a must-win game.
Okay, when you say a must-win game, why is it a must-win game?
John, a great question. At this point during the World Cup qualifiers, only the first-place team qualifies, and Poland has 16 points. They're pretty much a luck at this point. They have a talented, loaded roster, which includes Robert Lewandowski, one of the best players in the world. And there's only 5 more games remaining, including this one. And Armenia currently sits in 5th place for 6 points. However, there is an opportunity to get the 2nd place, which will create a playoff opportunity. And the race for 2nd is pretty tight. So if we get the 3 points here, we're basically 1 game behind, meaning 3 points behind the 2nd place team, and there'll be a chance. With 2 home games coming up, there's a good chance that Armenia can pile up some points to qualify. However, I don't want to be negative, but you know how the sports right. world is. If you don't take care of business, it's going to be a long right. shot to qualify.
Right, right. Has this team improved from prior teams of the last couple years? I know, the last 6, 7, 8 years we were okay, and then the last 2, 3 years we've kind of went to a format to where we don't know which player is coming in, which player is going out. So give us a little
you
rundown.
You said it best.
Yeah.
John, you said this. You might be on also sports podcast. This was Tommy Smith. This was Alejandro Morales, some of the best soccer analysts. You nailed it right there, buddy. That's been the issue. Inconsistency. We had such a good run in 2014. It was to a point where Germany, the World Cup champions, they requested to play against Armenia during their last game before the World Cup. And you remember the Ireland game, how close Armenia came to qualify. That would have been history in the making to get the European qualifiers. But lately it's been unfortunate. The inconsistent rosters, other things going on off the field with one of the best players being left off the roster. One of your guests that you had, Yura Movsisyan, Armenian-American that hasn't been invited to the national team for other reasons. But, you know, credit to the players. They're playing hard. Credit to the new coach, Artur Petrosyan. He has them on track after that terrible start to the World Cup qualifying campaign.
Now, this isn't the same guy that was the Cosmos coach, was it?
No, this isn't the Saarat coach that he actually got fired 4 games into qualifying. What happened was they did play hard. It was a game at Poland. They came up short 2-1, and Poland, as I mentioned, is the first-place team. And the team had gone winless at that point. They were 0-3, so a change needed to be made. You know, you saw him up close.
I did. I didn't care for that guy too much.
Yeah, he's very intimidating. He's, you know, he was motivational in his own way, but, you know, the results spoke for themselves. The players weren't comfortable playing with him, and the new coach is a former player who also has good coaching experience in Switzerland. And, you know, since he took over, they won 2 games, and it's been a good run so far. We had a heartbreaking, you know, defeat on the road, but now it's a pivotal game, and there's still an opportunity to qualify.
Right, right. Well, even if on the negatively speaking, even if we don't, let's finish it out strong and let's win these games And sometimes right now it's not in our hands how it turns out, but we can have the faith of how we finish. That's all we can do. And, you know, I think if we just get a little momentum going again and win here, win there, yeah, you never know, like you said.
Very well said, and that's what it's about, effort and playing hard. And I was proud of the effort during the first half. Matter of fact, we had two great chances to score. I could tell you they showed up to play. Anything can happen in the second half, but the last couple of results show that this team is playing hard. And these games count, folks. Like Jono mentioned, there's FIFA rankings involved for seeding for the future qualifying campaign, so every game counts. So even if mathematically the team cannot qualify, they're setting themselves up for the future. So these are pivotal games, including the one today, including the one September 4th when Armenia will host Denmark in Yerevan. So hopefully our boys will get some wins and make this interesting.
Very well said. And what has made Armenia, I mean, their defense was really, really mediocre at best in the past. They have really stiffened up, and they look much better on the defensive side, to where I'm not even worried about them scoring a goal on their own net. Is every time I watched them, it seemed like that could happen, and it did happen, and it was like, oh, this is unbelievable. And now it seems like our defense, has there been a new cast of players that have been brought up that are just playing really well and playing good together?
Great point. Again, we got to make you into a soccer analyst. Excellent point. There has been improvement, and you could see it today during the half, two no goals given up. Matter of fact, the only time they gave up a lot of goals when they were playing shorthanded and there was a red card. There's been two young players that have joined the roster that previously they didn't get an opportunity, two of the outside backs. And at the same time, some of the other players, the center back that we've had, the French-Armenian Gael Antonian, he's gotten more experience playing these qualifying games. But I think the difference has been the outside backs. You could see the defense has tightened up. And I believe this coach has made significant improvements that you could see within the field and tactically as well. The team used to be really, really defensive-minded, but yet they would allow 3-4-plus goals a game. Here, they're well-balanced. You have your superstar in Mkhitaryan, you have good attacking players, and you have a solid defense. And today, there was a goaltending change. A young keeper making his debut is starting, so that's another issue. We had some struggles with goaltending since Berezovsky retired, so the coach has addressed that too, and I think moving forward, the team will be on the right track.
Very good, very good. How does our future look from the diaspora, sending players and so forth?
It's looking well. There's more younger players developing, as evidenced yesterday. The Armenian under-21 national team had a great result. They tied against Russia at Russia 0-0. And they're actually sitting in first place for under-21 qualifying. That might change today with some of the other outcomes, but they're in great position for under-21 World Cup qualifying. So you could definitely see that younger players are making an impact. And the good thing is that thanks to this new coaching staff, they're getting an opportunity to play.
Right, right. And that contributes to the coaching staff of this national team also in charge of the under-21 team, or how's that work?
Correct. They work together, and Coach Voskanyan from the under-21 national team, he has done a tremendous job. And now it's at a point where younger players feel that they could get an opportunity with the national team too.
Okay.
Beforehand, it was a veteran-laden roster, and now they want to play hard in their level and the youth qualifying, because they know that they could have an opportunity to play, represent their country on the highest stage in soccer, and that's motivating them. So
right,
you could see that things are slowly falling in place.
And do you say, Greg, that maybe, just maybe, that the motivation's coming from possibly a Mkhitaryan? I mean, Mkhitaryan right now is possibly top 15, top 20 type of player, even maybe less than that.
he is a bona fide superstar, and it's motivation for players worldwide, for young players worldwide, whether they're playing in Argentina, in Armenia, Armenian Americans here. I've had a MLS general manager, Major League Soccer general manager, personally call me and tell me, hey, I need you to scout the next Henrik Mkhitaryan. I need you to let us know who the young talented kids are overseas, who the young talented kids are in LA. So he has definitely opened up opportunities, and players that played in the Armenian League are seeing that, hey, Mkhitaryan went from Punic to Ukraine to Germany, now to Manchester United. So if he can do it, and he's a talented player that worked hard, that means we could have opportunities too. If we play with the national team, it's only going to lead to more opportunities and to have a dominant career like this.
Right, right. As long as these players abroad and in Armenia get a fair look, I think the opportunity will be there. I just don't want to see any politics involved, and let these guys just go after each other. I mean, back in my days playing football, if someone wanted my position, there was a time in the week where they'd go, well, let's see you guys go in the pits and go against each other. And that's, I think, the Armenian team, maybe now it's starting to realize that, hey, I don't need to worry about selling a player down the line that's mediocrity and so forth. I want the best product out on the field. So maybe I think we're waking up to that.
I think we are. It's slowly changing. We're not there yet where we should be, and that's been unfortunate. You just mentioned such a great analogy, and I'm a big sports guy as well, and it's unfair to see in this sport, good players don't get enough opportunities because they didn't sign a certain contract with a team that, oh, by the way, that owner of that team was also the head of the Armenian Soccer Federation. So it wasn't a coincidence that players from that team ended up going to the national team. And, you know, I don't want to get into politics too, but I could tell you at this point, the head of the federation is not involved with the Armenian Premier League team. He sold his share to a Russian-Armenian businessman. That tells us that players all over the league can have an opportunity to play, because prior hand, you would hear those rumors that, hey, if you're not a Punic player, you're not going to get to the national team. Wow. So the rest of the players on other teams, you know, they lost motivation. But we're on the right track, and slowly but surely things are getting there, because there's such talent worldwide, and if politics aren't involved, like in other sports, you don't see politics play a big role, we would have definitely been qualified. But I think that moment will come in the near future.
Very good, very good. And as for our local teams in LA, how's that looking? How's the leagues looking?
It's looking, you know, great question. You have such respect on the local scene too. You know how the guys embrace you when you made a appearance one night at the Glendale Sports Complex. I'll never forget it.
I love you guys in LA.
And all the guys wanted to go out and celebrate with you after the game. It's looking great. They're competitive. They just came back from our Pan-Armenian games. They had a great experience. Our guys lost in the final to Beirut, Lebanon, but they competed. Great job by Coach Phil and the entire team. Whoever was involved with that. As a matter of fact, there is a talented young player that went on that tournament who's a academy product for Real Salt Lake in the MLS, and he's been called up to the Armenian under-21 national team. So he's going to be making an appearance in March. He's a local Valley kid, Didan Babekan. So it's a good thing, a good motivation for other younger players in the area that you could start locally, play somewhere respectable as far as the soccer club scene or universities, then have an opportunity with the national team.
Right, right. Well, that's all they're asking for, just a fair shake on it, and let's take it from there. Now, when you said the Pan-Armenian Games, do Armenians, are there scouts from the broader side, national team? Do they look at any of these players on the sense that, yeah, we know they're younger players and all that, but this is the type of core that we need to look at?
I haven't been there personally to witness scouts there, but I would imagine scouts would watch these games, especially the finals and quarterfinals. But word of mouth also is always spread. You could have the officials in the game, opponents, and this kid was a talented player, so word of mouth spread, and he had his opportunity. But that's one of the reasons why most players locally travel and enjoy the opportunity. They have a great experience, opening games, closing ceremony, and they meet and friends of other athletes worldwide. And I've seen wonderful instances where they develop friendships with players from Argentina, France, and it's a wonderful celebration of the athletes. And now that one is going to have an opportunity to play for the national team, so it's good. It's exciting.
Excellent. All right, we covered that angle. I want to ask you too now, Greg. Are you still hustling these guys? When I went to visit you, man, you didn't have but 15 minutes of a break, and you had to run into Starbucks and grab a quick cookie and a coffee, and then you were back at it again. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, this guy's passion is soccer and Armenians, and he never stops working. And are you still this? You still got the foot on the gas on this?
Not as much. I've settled down a little, but I'm thankful to have good friends who are helping me, including my partner, FIFA agent Suren Olak Emian, as well as other great members in the community. And we've been able to identify young players, provide them with opportunities, set them on the right path to go professionally. But during the summer and during holiday breaks or winter breaks, when I have more time off from work, I'm definitely active on the scene, always at the combines, networking, doing my best to provide opportunities for our players. And recently we had a player that had just came from Armenia. He was able to sign a professional contract. That was a real good success story. There's two more that are going to have an opportunity. So I'm doing my part, and it's been a great run. I always have that passion for this, and it's thanks to people like you, great people that out of state, out of the city, that have the same passion. And we all have it in us, and we all do our part, and hopefully these players take advantage of the opportunity and establish themselves at a professional level on and off the field.
Well, I'd like to tell the folks why he's probably slowed down here. He's met a beautiful gal in Armenia, and that's your bride now, pal. Congratulations.
Bride, I appreciate it, Jono. It was a real blessing, and we got engaged in Armenia just this past spring, and she's the bride to be. And you're a family man yourself, and until you experience it, you never know the kind of blessing it is. So
yeah,
definitely. And it's been great too, because now I'll have more opportunities down the line to go to Armenia to network more with the talent there, with the players. And I'm excited for this next chapter of my life.
Well, God bless Greg, and whatever pops up, Yechpar, let us know. You're always welcome on this show. I've always tried to get you on this show, and this time I said I got to get him on. And thank you so much for being on the show, and all the good work you do, brother. I just want to say,
My pleasure.
I mean, it's not unappreciated. I seen it firsthand, and a lot of people out in L.A., a lot of those kids, they look up to you, and it's not unappreciated at all. I just wanted to throw that back at you.
No, I really appreciate these words, Jono. And, my respect for you is through the roof, what you're doing, not just with the podcast, what you've done in the community. And just as a friend, as the kind of great person you are, the great Armenian role model you are for a lot of people. And I'm proud to have friends like you and be surrounded by great people and create more opportunities for our youngsters and celebrate their achievements. So I'm really appreciative of your words, and it's motivation to go forward and make things happen.
Definitely. Yep. Again, congratulations with everything that you're doing, and I'll catch up with you next time I'm in L.A. I'll give you a shout, and I'll drop by.
The red carpet will be rolled out, and people will be standing in line in droves to see Jono, and that's the kind of respect you got too, Yefid. I appreciate this, and all the best to you. Continued success.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Greg. You take care, brother.
Take care. Well, have a great one. Bye.
You too. I tell you what, Brian, I love that guy. I love that guy. Every time I'm in L.A., I get to see these guys, and It's beautiful. And you know what? They gave me a plaque. They gave me an Armenian plaque that says, thank you so much for contribution of helping us out and all that. And every time it's in my man cave downstairs in my sports bar. And, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And not only for my name or anything like that, but I just appreciate that I helped out and, the guy showed a little love back. You know, it was great.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get a plaque.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I don't care about the plaque, but you know what I mean. I just feel like the guys thought about me. That's all.
I get it.
I know. Hey, Brian, our segment with Tigran Zakarian last time out, we got a lot of people, saying they loved it. They wanted to hear more of it.
And I said,
you know what? Let's bring up Tigran in future episodes to where he can tell us a little bit about Artsakh, tell us a little bit about anything that's going on politically. Just make it a quick 10-15 minute thing and we could throw it on to our show. Tigran, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am doing good, Yekhbar. What's the latest? I mean, I seen this one thing happening with this hostage thing and all that. What was all that about?
Right now, there's nothing major going on. It's just same old, same old. They're shooting, we're shooting back. But a few days ago, we lost one of our soldiers. He was wounded, but they weren't able to save his life. So that's unfortunate.
Wow. But I was talking about the police work that was going on with that crazy guy. What was the deal with that one?
Oh, are you talking about the guy in Yerevan?
Yeah. He looked nuts.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know a lot about that guy. It seems like he was under drug influence or something.
Yeah.
And, he was threatening to kill the girl, so the police snipers shot him.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, Tigran, that I got into. I'm in a heated argument with this guy right now about, one thing about, I don't like all these people standing around our cops and while they're conducting their business and all, rope the area off two blocks and all that and get this thing done with just you guys and not iPhones all around you every 10 feet. It just seems so like a Keystone Cop type of thing, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't well organized. I agree on that. I think the police need to work on their training and stuff a little more, but the job was done, but they need some improvements.
Definitely. So what's been going on? Yeah, any news in Artsakh?
Not really. Everything is the same. Nothing has changed. They're just shooting, we're shooting back. There are no reports because the Minister of Defense, they stopped reporting daily. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but they used to report daily. Now they don't do it. It's weekly. And they only report on the military shows that one of them is called Goyamart. The other one is called Zinuj. They only do the reports weekly. And unless nothing major is going on.
I gotcha. What was this deal with this EEU type of thing to where Turkey wants in on this EU, and Russia's putting a little pressure on Armenia to accept them and all this. How's that looking?
Honestly, I don't have a lot of information about it. Is there anything specific that you read?
I was just thinking how beneficial. I'm hearing from Armenians that this can be beneficial for Armenia to have some sort of leverage, and I don't see how and all that. If you're not informed about that, we can move on. But I was just I'm just curious about that. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, honestly, most of the time I'm just interested in what's going on in the military and frontline,
right.
And I don't even read about Turkey. Trying to.
Right.
Join the EU and stuff.
I got you. Well, what do you have for us from the Artsakh days? I brought it up to you last time on the segment that, hey, you know what? We'd like to hear some stories from the past. You got anything you'd like to throw our way?
When you first contacted me, you read a post on one of the Facebook groups, right?
Right.
About one of our heroes that died in a fight. And you said, you know, it would be great if we could have stories like that being told, you know, during the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to get our Western Armenians to know a little bit about the history of what it took to get Artsakh in our hands and all that. So I think with that story that you had, with that post that you had, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and in my opinion, the way we can remember those guys is posting about them and talking about them all the time. And they're our heroes. And the guy that I posted about his name was Zori Gevorkyan. He's from Vanadzor. He was serving in Martakert, Artsakh. If you remember, in 2014, in July, August, there was a mini war. That's what the media called it.
Mm-hmm.
And during those times, it was August 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. It was August 2nd. Zori Gevorkyan, he was a reconnaissance company commander. They were in the battle post that day, and in the night he heard some noises, so he took his night vision goggles to see what's happening. When he was looking in the neutral zone, for those people who don't know, neutral zone is the territory between the Armenian trenches and the Azeri trenches. So when he was looking in the neutral zone, he saw two special operators laying on the ground cutting the barbed wire. But he didn't know there were a lot of people behind them waiting for them to cut the barbed wire, so he went ahead and shot both of them. They both were dead immediately. And after he shot them, there was massive fire on him. He was just by himself, though. Although he is an officer, but you know, when you're fighting over, the reconnaissance said that there were about 45 up to 50 special operators. Just imagine one guy, no matter how well you're trained, you're right. Fighting against 45 special operators. Imagine 45 Navy SEALs shooting at you. Right. And they're not just regular soldiers. You know, they're a lot better than regular soldiers. So when they were shooting at him, he didn't even step back an inch. He kept fighting. And he got wounded the first time. It was a shrapnel from the grenade launcher. He got wounded, but he didn't step back an inch. He kept fighting. He got wounded the second time. He kept fighting until he got shot in the head. And, you know, when you get shot in the head, that's it, you're done. But, you know, he fought till the last breath. So what they wanted to do, because they had big casualties, they lost a lot of people in that fight. Just, you know, even 45 people fighting one guy, they lost I think it was close to 6 people. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to come and take Zorik's body as a trophy, I guess, to show them that, you know, at least we did something. And one of the guys, the regular soldiers, he came to help, and he saw that they want to try to take Zorik's body with them. So he didn't allow. He stood there, and he kept fighting too. And he got shot. He got wounded. Then our backup came, and they kicked them out of there. But unfortunately, they couldn't save that soldier's life either. His name was Sarkis Mosesyan. If I'm not mistaken, that was his last name, Mosesyan. I know his name was Sarkis. He was fine until the surgery. If I'm not mistaken, he even called his family, said everything is all right. But I think the bullet was in his spine, and for some reason, they couldn't save his life. So it's an unfortunate story, but at least it's something that we can always be proud of, that, you know, one soldier can fight over 45 special operators.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, that's beautiful in the sense that our Armenians have always had this thing about it's like Spartans, you know. We could take on the numbers and not, I mean, I'm sure he was scared, and I'm sure he knew that the outcome wasn't going to be good. Why did it take so long for reinforcements to get there?
Well, they didn't expect it, and it was the time where they had to have a lot of people everywhere, so they didn't have like a lot of backup. So pretty much what happened, because there are battle posts that are usually not protected. They used to be in 2014. They were just letting it go because of the numbers of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a lot of soldiers to be able to do it. So at that time, since the times were bad, they sent all of the soldiers there. And usually in the battle post, it's not very close, and the roads are not, you know, it's not good. You know, they're not straight and all of those things. They're pretty far. So, and usually the battle, it didn't take a lot of time. It was a matter of, you know, minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes. But in those 10, 15 minutes, he was able to do what he did.
Right.
Then the backup came, and they beat them.
Well, you know what? I hope they improved. I'd like to know one more thing. How did the Azeris know that was a hole or that was a weakness in the line of ours? How did they know that was the area to strike?
It wasn't a weakness, actually. They just wanted to attack a battle post and capture it. Or even if they don't capture the battle post, at least they would kill the soldiers who are in the battle post, and that's a psychological pressure on Armenians. So that's what they wanted to do, but it didn't work out
right
very well for them. They lost a lot of soldiers, and the next day they tried to do another sabotage. I think they lost over 20 people because our special operation, they were waiting for them. So they were in their blinds and stuff. They were waiting for them. They tried to attack. Most of them got killed. Whoever had a chance, they ran away wounded, but most of them got killed.
Right. Tigran, I got to ask you a question. Let's go on the Azeri side here. I'd like to know, how do they convince the public all the time? They convince their Azeri people that we're the ones starting shit every time. I'd like to know, what makes the people think that this is always happening? Don't any of these troops come back home to visit their moms and dads and say, hey, you know what? It's us that are pounding. Don't read the news what they're saying, because it's us starting this every time.
Some people know what's going on, what's actually going on, but the media is so strict that they can't even say anything. That's the thing. It's very strict when it comes to police, military. It's very strict. You can't say anything, and whoever says it, they go to prison.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening. And usually they send their minorities, like Lezgins, Talish, Avar. They send the minorities to the front line. They're complaining all the time. The Talish and Lezgin people, they complain all the time. They're like, you're sending our sons and not the guys who are living in Baku. Mm-hmm. But it's Aliyev. He's pretty good at whatever he's doing in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, he takes care of the elite and the lower class people he sends over there. And when they die, he puts a flag on them. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they sometimes bury those guys at night, even though they're Muslim and it goes against their religion to bury someone at night. But they do it at night so no one can see it, and so people don't panic or anything like that. And they did it in April, and they did it pretty much since 2014. Whenever they had massive casualties. They were burying their soldiers at night.
So no one would get wind of it.
Yeah, they would take like flashlights and go bury them at night.
Jesus.
It's
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there are so many horrible things.
Yeah.
You know, they do. I just don't want to talk about all of it.
Yeah. One more thing before, we'll talk about this again. But I had, when I had MySpace, when it was called MySpace, I had a friend that was an Azeri, And he told me, he goes, Jono, I work at a mall in Baku, and I'm afraid to walk at night because they just pick us up while we're walking. They throw us on a truck, and next thing you know, we're on the front lines. You know, I got to be cautious on how I even walk the streets in Baku, because they'll pick you up and they'll throw you in the back of a truck, and next thing you know, they put a uniform on you.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like it, but, you know, knowing and seeing a bunch of things that they've done and still doing it, I wouldn't be surprised if they did anything like it.
Yeah, and you can't slip anything by them. All right, well, you know what? Thank you so much, Tigran. I'd like to do these little quick sessions with you if it's all right with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that's great. That's Tigran Zakarian. And Tigran, thank you so much, and we'll talk again, my friend.
Cool, thank you as well.
All right, take care. You know what? I want this segment all the time, at least once a month or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get Tigran on, and he could fill us in on some old stories. And all. I feel like I put him on the spot, though, earlier with the whole news thing and everything. The guy wasn't even ready for anything.
I know.
He's okay with it. But thank you so much, Greg. Thank you so much, Tigran. And, folks, I appreciate you guys buying you bought some patio furniture, and you use the ArmeniaProud.com, and you go to ArmeniaProud.com, and on your right hand side you got Amazon. Click on Amazon and shop away. You won't see us again, but you know what? They bought furniture, patio furniture, and there was also a slow cooker. A big slow cooker.
Yeah,
I've never seen an Armenian with a slow cooker. Well, yeah, they grill everything. Everything's outside on a kebab stick. Well, not a stick, but a big sheesh.
Well, you know, when I got married, I couldn't have a slow cooker on my wedding registry because of my last name being Crock and people always buying us crock pots.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you got a problem there.
So we just bought one ourselves, and we didn't put it on the registry, so nobody else bought us anything.
There you go.
My brother got four when he got married.
He got four crocks?
Four crock pots.
Nice. Four. He probably sold them, huh?
He had to return like three of them, and he kept one. So.
All right. That's good. That's good. Hey, folks, in any case, keep doing what you're doing. Keep supporting the show. That's ArmeniaProud.com. On your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on there, shop away. And you get to see all the past episodes, too, when you go to that site and show a little love there. So thank you so much. Thank you, Brian, once again, man. Yeah, I can't do the show without you. You're back there working all the control panels there. He looks like a pilot in a big rocket ship there.
Kinda
I have no idea what he's pressing, but he makes it all happen, so I appreciate it so much. And my friends, take care. Kisher party. You know what? I meant to say genatsit, kisher party, and I'll see you guys next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at ArmeniaProud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter @ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.